one of my beloved son in the gospel, who has followed the steps that culminate in results. We're bringing the word to us in this first segment. Join me, welcome Pastor Paul Enechi.
Go ahead. Let's lift up our hands. In the name of Jesus. Let's go on ahead and lift our hands and appreciate God for this moment. Let's worship Him for this moment, for this opportunity. Father, we worship You. Father, we honor You. Father, we adore You. Father, we worship You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Adonai. Blessed be Your name. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I want to appreciate the privilege of standing here this morning. I appreciate my Father in the Lord for giving us the wings to fly. And I want to especially thank you, sir, for all that you mean and represent to us. Everywhere we have gone around the world, it looks like who you are went ahead of us. And we have been received, not just because of us, but because of who we have followed. And we thank you. We thank you, sir. Thank you, Mama, for standing with Daddy all these years, and we are highly appreciative. Somebody who is ready for something today, say aloud, amen. Amen. You are always there to help. You are always there to help me, even when no one else was there. You are always there for me, even when I can't feel you, even when I could not trace you, I still have faith in your word that you are always there. You are always there. You are always there to help. You are always there to help, even when no one else was there. You are always there for me, even when I can't feel you, even when I cannot trace you, I still have faith in your word. If you know He's there for you right now, sing it one more time. You are always there. You are always there to help. You are always there to help. Even when no one else was there, you are always there for me. Even when it looks like I still have faith in your word that you are there. I still have faith in your word that you are always there. Father, thank you because you are always there. Even when no man or woman or personality seem to be there, you are there. Even when the enemy makes us feel like you are not there, you are there.
Father, we ask that you confirm that you are here with us and at all the times in the name of Jesus. Let something change in the life of someone here today. Let this be the beginning of a turnaround for somebody. In Jesus' precious name. One more time, give the Lord the praise as you be seated. Very quickly, the subject is engaging the power of fasting. Engaging the power of fasting. And that is in commanding the supernatural. In engaging the power of fasting. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 all the way to verse 9. He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. And to let the oppressed go free. And that ye break every yoke. Verse 7, 8. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him? And that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. And thy health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Somebody say a loud amen. Amen. We are going to be looking at in detail what the fast is all about. As objective understanding what the fasting does in releasing the supernatural. By way of introduction, it's important to know that fasting is a proven tool for the operation a manifestation of the supernatural through our scriptures. Is a proven tool for the operation and manifestation of the supernatural through our scriptures. We're going to look at 5 examples of people who operated in the supernatural and manifested them through our scriptures by the power of fasting. Number one, Moses. Moses was a man who operated in the supernatural by the power of fasting and prayer. Moses fasted and prayed until the glory of the Lord exploded on his face. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 to verse 30. The glory exploded on his face until the people couldn't behold him by the power of the fast. Example number 2, Elijah. Elijah was a symbol of fire and power in the scripture. He was a man who understood the power of fasting. He was the symbol of fire. He was the symbol of power. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and in verse 8, we saw how Elijah was fed by a raven and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb. Example number 3, Esther. Esther broke the conspiracy of Haman against the Jews in Persia. And destroyed the threat of extermination. He broke the conspiracy of Haman. Destroyed the threat of extermination by the power of the fast. Esther chapter 4 verse 16 we saw there. Example number 4 was the people of Nineveh. Nineveh's king and the inhabitants were supernaturally delivered from prophesied disaster, prophesied judgment by the power of the fast. In Jonah chapter 3 verse 4 to verse 10, we see the detail there. That was the first time in history where human beings fasted, animals fasted, everything fasted, and the judgment was averted. I speak to someone here today. Every satanic verdict on your life in the course of this program is averted in the name of Jesus. Example number 5, Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle, I can say, was the most supernatural being in the New Testament, outside of Jesus. Paul was the man that the snake will bite and he will fling it into the fire and felt no harm. Paul the Apostle said he was one night and one day in the depth of the sea. A human being surviving for 24 hours inside the water as if he was fish. Paul the Apostle was the person who went to the third and heaven and back at will. He had things that were unspeakable for him to say. Paul the Apostle was the man who took handkerchiefs from his body and healed the sick. Paul the apostle was a man who said, I have a choice to go and I have a choice to remain. If I want to die, I can die. If I want to remain, I can remain. That was a man who was fasting personified in 2 Corinthians 11, 27. Paul the apostle speaking about in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. He was fasting personified and he went into the supernatural beyond anybody outside of Jesus. There are people seated here today. By the time this silo is over, you will be operating in a supernatural dimension that will amaze your generation. You believe it, say it louder. Amen. Amen. Now, what is fasting not? Want to define fasting, but what is it not? Before we know what fasting is, what is not fasting? Number one, fasting is not punishing yourself until God is forced to hear you. Some people feel like, let me punish myself. Let me just finish myself for God. It's not punishing yourself or suffering yourself until God is forced to hear. Second, it's not punishing yourself, it's not suffering yourself until God is forced to hear. Number two, fasting is not the attempt to change God's position on any issue. His position is constant. It is the attempt to align with God's position and purpose. Again, it is not the attempt to change God's position. God's position is already firm. Concerning Nineveh, it was not God's position that changed. It was the people who aligned themselves to God's purpose and the judgment was averted. It's not the attempt to change God's position or on any issue. It is aligning with God's purpose and position. Thirdly, fasting is not a religious weapon for seasonal observations. There are people, our 21-day fasting is coming, so it's a religious thing. Oh, it is Lent. So, no, it's not a religious weapon for seasonal observation. And so fasting is not punishing ourselves, suffering ourselves until God is forced to hear us. Fasting is not the attempt to change God's position. And fasting is not just a religious weapon for seasonal observation. What then is fasting? Number one, fasting is abstinence from food or pleasure for a period of time in order to establish God's purpose and plan. It is abstinence from food or pleasure for a period of time in order to establish God's plan and purpose. Our Father just spoke to us, and the number one purpose, of course, is kingdom assignment, kingdom advancement, kingdom enlargement. When you fast, seek first the kingdom of God. So it is abstinence from food, abstinence from pleasure for a period of time to establish God's plan and purpose for the church, for our lives. Daniel did that. Number two, fasting amplifies and intensifies desperation and desire towards God for needed intervention. It amplifies, intensifies desperation and desire towards God for needed intervention. In Joel chapter 2 and in verse 12, he says, rend your heart. Rend your heart, not just your garment. Therefore, also now, thus saith the Lord, turn even to me with all your heart and with fasting, with all your heart. That is, you express your desperation at the place of the fast. Esther chapter 4, verse 16, Esther said, if I perish, I perish. She was expressing desperation at the place of the fast. Psalm 63, verse 1 to 2, O Lord my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee in the dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So I have seen of thee in the sanctuary. Fasting is the intensification of desperation. That is number two. Number three, fasting expresses human helplessness and humility of soul in securing the help of God. Human helplessness and humility of soul in securing the help of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and in verse 3 to 4, when Jehoshaphat and the army of Israel were confronted, the Bible said Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. For what purpose? Verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And in verse 12, they say, O Lord, our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. So we're seeking God, expressing human helplessness and humility of soul in securing the almightiness and the help of God. Number four, fasting is subduing the flesh for the dominance of the spirit. You are bringing the flesh under so that the spirit can be emphasized and enforced. Is the subduing of the flesh. The psalmist said, I humbled my soul with fasting. Is the subduing of the flesh for the dominance of the spirit man. So the spirit man can gain ascendancy. It is clear that during fasting's period, the spirit of man is alert, is awake, is aware. That is what fasting does. Now, as we proceed very quickly, I'd like us to note the following about fasting. Number one, you don't fast to impress men or God. Please, this is important. You don't fast to impress men or God. You don't fast to boast or brag about it. I remember a young man, he will carry his phone and say, this is my 21 days of no food. I said, so what is the aim of this information? So just to let you know. Totally useless in terms of result. That guy fasted until something went very, very wrong. You don't fast. The Bible said in Matthew 6, 16 to 18, when thou fasted, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So you don't use spirituality to impress. When we were in the university in those days, we used to go to a certain place to pray. Brethren, we used to go. And then one brother, whenever they got there, as soon as he reached there, he would start sleeping. When they wake him, he said, I'm in the spirit. So he continued like that until one day, when they finished praying, he was still sleeping, everybody left. So later on, when he woke up, he told, why did you people leave me there? They said, no, you were in the spirit, so we left you. Right? He was trying to impress people with being in the spirit, and that was not right. We don't do spirituality for impression. You don't impress people. Number two, you don't fast only to eagerly wait for when to break. Do you know the kind of people that are fasting and they look at their time by 3 o'clock? He said, this watch is not moving. It's a useless fast. It's a completely useless fast. The time to break is not the focus. What you are trusting God to do in your life is the focus. So that kind of fast that you are looking at time, you better break it now. You don't fast only to eagerly wait for when to break. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10, whatsoever thy hand find to do, whatsoever thy soul find to do, do it with your might. You don't do it half-heartedly. Number three, you don't fast and break carelessly and voluminously. What do I mean by that? Don't ever attempt to fast
And then you break the fast with the mentality of pursue, overtake, without we recover all. They brought a man some time ago and the whole system was upside down. What happened to you? He embarked on a fast. And then he decided to pursue, bring the breakfast, bring the lunch, bring the dinner, to put everything together. And by the time he landed with, I think the final thing was Akpu. The whole system was under tension. He needed prayer for deliverance. So madam, bring the breakfast, bring the lunch, bring the dinner. That's not, don't do yourself such injustice. It's very, very important. We had a very terrible challenge some time ago where a young man in our church fasted. He did a dry fasting. And then, I don't know for how long ever he did a dry fasting. And when it was time to break, he broke with ice cold water. His system shut down on the spot. Dead. Wife came, everybody came. They prayed, they did everything, nothing. Hot ambulance set to go to the mortuary. And then according to him, in that realm, he saw me. And I said, where are you going? It's not time to die. He said he saw me with the microphone and I was speaking. And that time we had a program in Bielsa. We're preaching. He said, I have come from the crusade to intervene and turn you back. They just showed that young man right there in the middle there. That was what brought him back. Please, in fasting and in breaking of the fast, especially if it's for any duration, let's ensure that wisdom is applied. Fourthly, you don't fast without active spiritual engagement. You don't fast without active spiritual engagement in praying and studying the word. You don't fast without the active engagement of prayer and study of the word. Acts chapter 6 and in verse 4, the Bible said, the apostle said, we shall give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. The lubrication of the fast, the fuel, the grease of the fast is the prayer and in the study of the word. Now I'm going to move to the next point and I said, now, and then we'll come to this later now. When do you fast? When do you fast? What are the occasions? Medically, we say, what are the indications for fasting? All right? Woman comes with pregnancy and you want to do a cesarean session. What are the indications? So, when do you fast? What activates or provokes a fast? Number one, you fast when you are led of God into a fast. That is one condition. When you are led of God into a fast. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 14 said, as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You fast when you are led of God into a fast. Either you heard God that you should take a fast, or suddenly a heavy prayer burden comes upon you, or suddenly appetite for food is lost. No matter how hard you try, you don't feel like eating. You proceed and press into the realm of the spirit, into the closet. Lord, what are you saying? I tell people, I said, it's not every time you see food, you eat. There are times you have eaten breakfast, but then the lunch comes and there's no appetite at all. And the dinner comes and there's no appetite at all. You proceed. You proceed in prayer, trying to find out exactly God, what God is trying to say, until it is time when the appetite returns. It's called a fasted life. Where are you? You are sensitive to the spirit to know when to eat and when not to eat. That is very, very important. You fast when you are led of God to fast. Number two, you fast when there is a heavy kingdom burden. A heavy kingdom burden for kingdom advancement. We saw that already in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. When thou fastest, when thou prayest, and then verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. You took it upon yourself to fast for the advancement of the kingdom when the burden comes upon you. That's a second area and reason and indication for the fast. Number three, you fast when your faith, your life,
or those of your loved ones are challenged. When your faith, when your life, or those of your loved ones are challenged. When Esther and the people of Israel were challenged in Persia, in Esther chapter 4 verse 16, she took up a fast. I and my maidens will go and fast. You do likewise. And if I perish, I perish. When your life is challenged, when your faith is challenged, when that of your loved ones is challenged, you proceed on a fast. Number four, you fast when you are in search of light, insight, or direction. In search of light, in search of insight or direction on any issue. In Isaiah chapter 58 and in verse 8, it said, when we have fasted, our light shall break forth. But our Father in the Lord took fastings many times. When he was on the journey for understanding the mystery of prosperity, he took the fast. And several other occasions, I am in search for light on this issue. I am in search for insight on this issue. I am in search for direction on this issue. You can take the fast. Number five, you fast when it is corporately proclaimed or declared. There is a time when the church, by the leading of the Holy Ghost, would declare a fast corporately, like we do in 21 days fasting in January. You fast at such times. In Acts 13:1, the apostles 1 and 2, they were in agreement together that it was needed for, there was a need for a fast. And they proclaimed the fast and they took that fast. You fast when that happens. Number five, is that number six, sir? Number six, we fast for the routine maintenance of spiritual authority. I call it routine maintenance of spiritual authority. You see, Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 11:27, he said, in fastings often. That didn't have to be tied to any situation or any condition. I am just fasting frequently. In fastings often. And if you look at the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 21, Matthew 17, 21, Jesus was speaking about a demon they couldn't cast out. He said, how be it, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. When they say, Lord, why couldn't we cast out the devil? He said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. The question is, Lord, are you saying that if I see a devil that is that has bound the person, and the person is restless and manifesting, I should leave the person and go and fast and then return back to pray? No. Because with that, the devil would have finished the person already. He said, I am saying, before you met that devil, you already fasted. The fasting that should deal with the devil happened before you met that devil. This kind goeth not by, but by a fasted life, a prayer and fasting life. I speak today in the name of Jesus. Every emergency that shall confront you any moment from now shall be collapsed by the power of God. If you believe that, say a loud amen. So we fast as such conditions, and that is routine maintenance of spiritual authority, living the fasted life. Now, when you have decided to fast, how do you maximize the fast? How do you maximize the fast? Number one, declare the objective of the fast. First and foremost, what is your objective? What are you trying to achieve? Daniel chapter 9 verse 1 to verse 3, Daniel had an objective. When the time for the turnaround of the captivity of Judah had come, and they are still there, he had an objective to take a fast. Declare the objective of the fast. Number two, ensure you fast on the word. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. The Lord, who is the Lord? The Lord is the word. They that wait on the word. Ensure you feast on the word. Number three, ensure you pray abundantly. It is fasting and prayer, not just fasting. Matthew 17, 21, this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. Fasting must go with prayer. Wordless fast is useless fast. Prayerless fast is useless fast also. Ensure that you pray abundantly in the course of the fast. Number four, ensure that you maintain minimal distraction. Be focused. The kind of fasting you do where you are answering all the calls and texting all the text messages and chatting all the chats, that's a waste of time. Genesis 32 verse 24, Jacob was left alone. When spiritual issues are at stake, we must be left alone. You must be left alone to have encounters with God. Ensure that you maintain minimal distraction and be focused. Number five, ensure you listen. Be on the lookout desperately for instruction. Because a major assignment of the fast is to cause the light to break forth. Be on the lookout desperately for instruction. Listen, be on the lookout. Isaiah 85 verse 8 says, I will hear what the Lord will speak. Psalm 85 verse 8. And then Isaiah 58 verse 8 says, your light will break forth. Be on the lookout for instruction. Number six, this is rare, but avoid the distraction of too much talk. Too much talk. Loquacity. Talkativeness is leakage of power. Especially in seasons of the fast. When the children of Israel march around the wall of Jericho, Joshua gave them an instruction. Utter no word as you march. So that when it is time to shout, you shout and there can be force that will come out from that shout. When Gehazi was going to raise the child, Elisha told him, speak to no man by the way. 2 Kings 4:29. When Jesus sent the disciples, he said, greet no man by the way. Luke 10 and in verse 4. Spiritual activities, most times, especially intense spiritual activity, it must be combined with minimal talk when you are really in search of power. Don't forget what I said. Talkativeness many times is leakage of power. Leakage. Power short circuit. Very, very quickly, there are things we can use to amplify the fast. That is, you are fasting, you are praying. Three amplifiers of the fast is worship and praise. Praising during the fast and worship. That was what they did in Acts chapter 13 verse 1 and 2. Actually, in Acts 13, 1 to 2, it was fasting and worship. While they ministered to the Lord, that is, they worshipped and fasted. So there can be fasting with abundance of worship and praise. It's an amplifier. Number two is vows and sacrifices. You can tie the fast with a vow as well and a sacrifice. That was what Hannah did in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. She made a vow. And when Eli spoke to her in verse 17 to verse 19, her countenance was no more sad. She broke the fast. She ate the food after she made the vow and the answer came. So the fasting can be amplified with vows and sacrifices. And number three, the fasting can be amplified with the midnight praying and praising. That was what Paul and Silas did. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 verse 22, after they put them in the prison, the Bible said they put them in the inner prison. But at midnight they prayed and they praised. And then something happened. And when they came out of the prison that the jailer gave them food to eat. If you read all the way to verse 34. Where they were, it was like they were fasted until they... And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. That is, in the course of that prison tenure, they probably must have been deprived of feeding, so they were forced to fast. And then they combined it with praise and praying in the midnight, and then the prison door opened. I prophesy to somebody here today, your prison doors are opening right now. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. Finally, what are the products of the fast? I'm going to rush through this. And very quickly, number one, the establishment of... When you fast, what results do we expect? Number one, the establishment of divine plan, purpose, and prophecy. The establishment of divine plan, purpose, and prophecy. We saw this in the life of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 to verse 3. The establishment of divine plan, purpose, and prophecy. Number two, the aversion of impending danger and judgment. the aversion of impending danger and judgment. When danger is in the air, when judgment is in the air, it can be averted by the fast. We saw that in Nineveh. We also saw that with Esther and the Jews. Number three is the termination of enemy captivity, bondage and yokes. The termination of enemy captivity, bondage and yokes. The Bible says we can break every yoke in the course of the fast. The termination of enemy captivity, bondage and yokes. Isaiah chapter 58 and in verse 6. Number four, the breaking forth of light. The breaking forth of light and insight from the word. The breaking forth of light and insight from the word. If we saw that in Isaiah chapter 58 and in verse 8, your light shall break forth. Number five, the springing forth of health. Your health can spring forth by the fast. Health is a benefit of fast. It's even medically proven that health is a benefit of the fast. The springing forth of your health. That is number five. Number six, the flourishing of righteousness. He said, then thy righteousness shall go before you. That is, fasting has sanctification power, or rather, breaking of habits and addictions can happen by the fast, the springing forth of righteousness. That's number six. Number seven is the explosion of the glory. He said, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. That's still verse 8. We saw how the glory exploded on the face of Moses by the fast. The glory explosion happens by the fast. Then number 8 is speedy answers to prayers and requests. Speedy answers. We saw in that next verse, speedy answers. Then thou shalt call and the Lord shall answer. Speedy answers to prayers and requests from God. Number 9, access to divine guidance and direction. In fasting, we can access divine guidance and direction. That is, fasting increases spiritual sensitivity and receptivity. Spiritual sensitivity and receptivity. In Acts chapter 13 and in verse 1 to 2. Access to divine guidance. And then number 10 is connection to supernatural strength. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Supernatural strength. Supernatural stamina. Supernatural energy. You are not permitted to be a weakling if you understand the power of the fast. Connection to supernatural strength, energy, and stamina. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Number 11 is the upgrade of spiritual authority for the supernatural. You upgrade your spiritual authority for the supernatural. This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Matthew 17, 21. You upgrade your authority in the realm of the spirit. Supernatural authority. And then number 12. Realization of victory in battle. Victory in battle. King Jehoshaphat saw victory in battle. And we saw kings in history. Abraham Lincoln declared the fast 3 times in the middle of the American Civil War. And the people prayed and God gave the victory. George Washington. Throughout history, we see fastings declared and victories are wrought. I stand here to announce today, every battle of your life is declared over forever. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. I say the battles of your life are over forever. Will you stand upon your feet and lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father, I receive the grace. I receive the grace and the stamina for prayer and fasting. I receive it now. Go ahead and speak to God for 30 seconds. I receive the grace. I receive the stamina for prayer and fasting. The grace and the stamina for effective prayer and fasting. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. I receive it. I receive it right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let me say it. There is such, everything carries its own level of grace. A young man came from America and he said, we had an encounter, I prayed with him. He said, from that day of August 2024, he lost appetite to eat from morning till evening for the next 1 year. The outcome of that was that the church exploded in Massachusetts, 5 services every Sunday. And up till now, it is still happening. You are going to lift your hands still and say, Father, I receive the grace for prayer and waiting on the Lord. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Receive that grace, receive that grace, receive that grace, receive that grace, receive it in Jesus' precious name. Help me shake hands with somebody. Say, congratulations for your victory. Congratulations for your victory. Congratulations. Give the Lord a shout of victory. Take your seat as to receive the choir.